joined in studio now by Patricia Swan, holistic health therapist. Thank you so much for coming on to the programme again.
You're welcome, Greg.
And also thank you for telling me how to pronounce Buteyko, which is the breathing technique that you specialise in.
Well, it's not so much that I specialise in it, because I learnt it and I encourage people to learn it, but I don't actually teach it myself.
Okay.
So I'm just like the signpost for something that works very well.
Last time, a lot of the focus of our conversation was about the importance of feet and what have you. And I noticed, I had this recurring problem with my ankles, you know, that really hurt me all the time. And I put it down to where I was lying or what have you. But I paid more attention to it after our conversation. And it turned out that it was actually just standing in one place. It gave me terrible pains in my ankles, up my legs and into my thighs if I stood. You know, if you were standing in a kitchen chatting or something, what would that be down to?
Usually we're doing something wrong. If our body's complaining, it's usually a sign that something that we're doing doesn't work for us. So that can be your posture, it can be your shoes, it can be the fact that you do too much of the one thing. Mm. You might do too much sitting, so when you stand, your posture's actually a little bit out. So the first thing you do is listen to what your body's saying. Second thing is usually pain can be referred. So you could have pains in your hips, but it might be coming from your feet. But when you look at somebody's feet, when they're lying down and you're looking at their feet and working with them, you can actually find where the problem is. You can't always find out what it is, but you can find where it is. So that would give you an indicator if it's to do with posture, or if it's to do with lack of exercise, or if it's to do with abuse, which is often your abuse is that you do too much driving, or you sit too much.
Yeah, and further to that, because then what I realised is how important the feet are, okay? Mm. Because I was travelling through an airport, halfway through, I got to the point where I barely could walk, and I stopped at a chemist and got a pair of insoles and put them in, and instantly I was able to walk again.
Yes, it's daft.
And I'm like, this is something I'd endured for 3 or 4 days. And, you know, I was flying Ryanair, so I had to walk half the way to Portugal.
Yes.
And by the time I got somewhere over the sea opposite France and to the terminal, you know, I literally couldn't walk. And these just insoles just with little bits of rubber under the heel. I did think of you. And I thought, really, it's astonishing how quickly something could be addressed.
Yes. Yes, most things fix quite easily.
Mm.
And like your feet are usually trying to tell you what you're doing. You weren't born with shoes on, so you were actually born to use your feet as feet, not just little things that sat inside shoes and have the shoes do all the work. So often we don't stand properly, we don't walk properly because our feet are a bit domesticated. Mm-hmm. They need to be a bit more free range. But when you have your feet worked on, usually you can see where the problem areas are.
Mm-hmm.
But right down the center, where the insole usually protects you and gives you some support, is the spinal reflex. So it's like the little it's like a map of your back, so you can actually see whereabouts in your back. And a lot of this would be probably because you sit a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So you can see where you need the support.
Yeah.
So if there's problems with your feet, quite often there's problems somewhere else in the body.
Mm. Me head?
Could be, yes. That's usually up around the toes. Yeah. A lot of people have problems with toes. Yes. And ingrown toenails and fungal toes. And
And you get people in that use your services. You get them, get the shoes and socks off, you get down and you have a look at the feet, and that's where you start the process.
I don't get down, they get up.
You know what I mean?
Yes, they lie.
Stop taking me so literally, will you?
They lie down on a table and with their head on a pillow.
I know you're not down on your hands and knees at people's feet. It would be far more practical to bring them to your level.
That's
I understand
it.
That,
yes,
Patricia.
So it's nice and comfortable. But quite often they just fall asleep because they're there for about an hour. And they might be just thinking that they're having their feet done like a nice foot massage, but you're actually, at the end of it, you're much wiser because you can see, like, the feet are busy telling you that whole time what's going on.
A caller says they have their feet feel like they're burning at night.
Yes. Quite often that's to do with diet.
Mm-hmm.
There are homeopathic remedies that can help with that. One thing I would try, it usually means your body's actually trying to detox. One thing I would try is to give your feet a good scrub with a nice sort of soft hairbrush and then run them under a cold tap before bed. But this is a very common problem. But usually if somebody is in for a session and you're discussing that, you would look at their diet and there'd be some things that you would be able to remove from their diet that should stop that.
A texter has an issue with RSL, restless leg syndrome, RLS.
Yes, that's awful. I had it when I was pregnant.
Really?
You can't stop your feet from moving. Mm. Again, there's helpful things in your diet. Tonic water's very good. So not the gin, but the tonic is good. And yes, maybe some magnesium supplements. So it's usually a dietary thing. But normally when you have something, you try and figure out why you have it. Mm. You don't try and fix it because it's a problem.
The cause first, and then obviously you go for the cure.
Yes.
I read up a bit about that myself, and it seems to be, you know, you're just about to nod off and you have this sense that you have to move your legs.
Yes.
Insomnia. A caller has an issue with that. They can't get off to sleep at night.
That's so many people have this problem. First of all, you'd remove all the obstacles to the sleep, which would be sugar or a lot of protein in the evening or tea and coffee. So you'd be making sure that there's not something that's keeping your body stimulated in the evening. Then when your eyes are tired, usually it means you're tired. So if your eyes aren't tired, then maybe you don't need to sleep. You know, some people don't. There's no law saying you have to sleep 8 hours a night. You should sleep when you're tired and wake up when you're refreshed.
Mm.
So reading or something that tires your eyes is a very good way of getting off to sleep. But quite often there are homeopathic remedies, and there's something called rescue sleep that you can buy in the health food shop, which helps your mind just calm down. But I would try reading. I'd get to bed a bit earlier. I would stop having sugar or sweet stuff in the evening. No tea, coffee after maybe 4 or 5 in the afternoon. If I had a cup of coffee at 3 in the afternoon, I'd have trouble sleeping.
Yeah.
And sweets or chocolate will keep you awake too.
They're stimulants, aren't
they?
Yeah,
absolutely. And our body loves getting a little fix.
And I think that's probably good advice too for people with younger ones as well. Oh. You know, tea or coffee, probably not as much an issue, but maybe that sweet snack
or a fizzy drink at night, and you're
wondering why they can't get off.
Yes, absolutely. It should be sleepy food in the evening, which would be your carbs and, food that doesn't get you up and going.
You know how we sort of set up rooms for babies and there's some beautiful places and they're all soft lighting and warm and cozy and lovely blankets? We probably should do that for ourselves as adults too. Sometimes,
well,
you know, make a nice environment.
Absolutely. And most of our bedrooms are either filled with clothes or filled with, there'll be a TV or there'll be your phone charges on or you've got an electronic clock or something. So if you, first of all, look at your bedroom and see, is this, like, we're all mammals and
is
we just
it a
want
nice
to curl
environment,
up somewhere.
Just
yes.
Snuggle up
and
go
is it peaceful?
To sleep? Yeah.
Or are there too many memories? Is there too much going on?
So tell us about, as I say, we spoke about this briefly the last time you were in, the Buteyko breathing.
Right.
Now, it's an exercise that you teach people. What are the benefits of it?
Buteyko was a Russian medical scientist, and he discovered that the reason people tend to get ill is because their breathing is disturbed.
Mm-hmm.
So they're over-breathing, and this is just really common, especially in the West. And when we have too much going on, we tend to breathe incorrectly, which is too much, and usually through our mouths as well. And we often breathe while we're talking or while we're eating. If we breathe through our noses and we breathe a little bit less, our whole system calms down a bit and it runs more efficiently. So then your body can repair the things that have gone wrong with it. So I just urge people to check it out. There's a website, learnbuteyko.com, and it has little videos and it will talk about things like Parkinson's or MS or cancer or psoriasis, and you can look at how your breathing can be affecting the state you're in.
Mm.
Because your body's designed to fix whatever goes wrong with it, and if we just get out of the way of that and let it repair itself, usually it will.
That's Buteyko, in case excuse me, in case you're searching it on the internet. The caller says, I have something called Morton's Neuroma. It started in my toe, now it's travelled to my ankle. Are you familiar with that?
I don't know.
Morton's Neuroma? But in any case, there's something in the toe and it's spread to their ankles, so
I would just be really interested to see that toe and that ankle. Where something appears on your foot is quite often an indicator of something else that's going on in your body.
Mm.
So it would just be very... And if anybody's... I would love to even to see somebody for 5-10 minutes, and I wouldn't charge them for that. Just if they just want to, I have to be careful what I say here, or there'll be
listen,
a crowd.
You're fine. Okay, I know exactly what you're saying. You think if you had a look at it, it'd be far easy rather than just what it's called
and
as to its causation. It's,
I wouldn't be able to fix everything, but quite often you can give somebody some suggestions that would lead them to something where they might think, okay, so that makes sense.
Okay.
Or I could change it through such and such.
A caller has a burning mouth and burning tongue.
Right, well, that sounds like a chemistry issue, body chemistry. So I'd be looking at...
they're celiac, I think that's...
Okay, I'd be looking at diet. That's probably that their system's too acidic. Mm. There are all sorts of things that you can do. Really basic things like some people don't do very well drinking tap water because of the chlorine that's in it. You can alkalinize your food quite easily. It would be usually when there's something wrong with somebody, I look at all the things they're doing, which is what their lifestyle's like, what their diet's like, and then you start peeling back the things that are going to make a difference.
Yeah.
So we're really complicated, you know. There's so much going on with humans, but if you just get somebody from the outside who can look at what you're doing and say, well, have you ever thought that this might be contributing to such and such?
Yeah. Because I suppose when you think about it, we have to deal with so much now that even you go back 300 years ago, didn't they? Even radio waves or anything, or
absolutely,
additives in food, and as you mentioned, additives in water. Now, what about thought field therapies?
Okay, so this is something that came out of chiropractics and kinesiology, and it's a, you might have seen it on TV where they're tapping different mm-hmm. parts of the body. So it's a fairly simple routine that you can do that work on the meridians in the body, the same places where an acupuncturist would use needles, but you're just tapping those mm-hmm. points. So you're stimulating certain parts of the body which work to unlock patterns in your body. So it's like undoing a pattern. So if you've got a pattern of being claustrophobic, or you are scared of driving, or if you have been traumatized, you can actually release the trauma around the memory, so that you still have the memory but you don't anymore have the trauma that's affecting you.
Mm. So there's some really interesting YouTube videos on that as well, where people that had quite long lifelong fears of
phobias and things,
or
yes,
memories, you know, that were sort of controlling them from their childhood, that really quite quickly using the tapping method they were relieved of them.
Absolutely. It became very popular after 9/11 because they had so many people traumatized at once, and they had to find something that worked quickly because they couldn't put everybody through counseling who'd been traumatized. So, and it's now taught in the Red Cross internationally, so it's a useful technique for someone who's maybe has to go into court and is really scared of having to make a court appearance, or is
public speaking,
terrified of coming on the radio.
Were you tapping this morning?
No, but I have been tapping in the past, yes.
You shouldn't be. You're very good. In fact, Kathleen Grant says you've got an excellent radio voice and wishes you all the well.
Oh, God bless her.
Would you have any help for migraines? It's a granddaughter who's tortured with them.
Yes, there again, you start unraveling what might be behind it. Mm. And it can be to do with posture, it can be to do with diet, it can be some trauma. So you don't, anything to do with holistic, you don't treat the symptom, you're treating the person. Mm. And you're trying to get the person so they don't have the symptoms anymore. So in migraines, there are herbal remedies, there's tapping, I don't really mind what works, and so sometimes I would use 5 or 6 different techniques with a person, and if something works, I don't know which to blame it on, but hallelujah.
Yeah.
But children are much easier to fix than adults.
Yeah.
Yes.
A caller has bad pins and needles. They're waiting to see a specialist, which is very good, but they say that they're so bad that even if they go to answer the phone could fall out of their hands. That's such the
that's usually coming from the neck.
Circulation, no?
It could be.
That's the specialist area as well, of course. But from what you've seen in the past, the neck can...
Yes. If you've had a problem with your neck or whiplash or that sort of posture, if there's pressure on certain discs that run past your shoulders quite often, like I had it once with whiplash where I had amazing pins and needles for a few days afterwards. If it's in both hands, then it's usually coming from the neck. That's what I'd look at first.
A caller has bad hot sweats day and night. They're attributing it to the menopause.
That's lovely. The thing with sweats, that's your body doing the right thing, and it's clearing you out, right. And it's like having a big bonfire out the back, and it's annoying. And there are things you can do. You can get sage from the health food shop. But really, I would just be trying to manage them the best you can, because you need to go through them, because that's the healthy way to get through the other side of the menopause. But having a sauna maybe once a week, yeah, is a way of you allowing your body to sweat and get rid of stuff without it happening to you.
So you could accelerate it maybe once a week or something.
Just help it along.
It makes sense, actually, because sometimes we do fight what the body is designed to do.
The body knows
as well
what it's doing. We just don't like it sometimes.
So it's kind of a bit of an endurance.
Yes, it's God bless us all. Most people in indigenous cultures don't have menopause symptoms. It's us in the West, but I think it's because we're so overladen with toxins and additives and the things that we've dealt with because of our diets and what have you. Our body needs to clean out even more. So it's sort of a good sign. It's just really unpleasant to go through.
Patricia, tell us where you're based again, in case, and I'm sure there will be people looking to engage with you.
I'm in Genesis Clinic in Gwydir on Tuesdays. I'm in Letterkenny Community Centre on Fridays. I have a clinic at the house in Chrysler. I work also cross-border, and I do house calls.
And it's very good. A couple of more questions, actually, while we have you here. Would reflexology help an autoimmune disease?
Reflexology gives you a good indicator of where the body's out of balance. Normally, the person would feel much better afterwards. When they're feeling better, they're more able to cope. And I would have to see. But the best thing there probably would be Buteyko.
And that's the breathing we talked of.
Yes.
A couple of questions, still talking about burning toes, strangely. One's attributing it to arthritis, and they have arthritis in the toe. Other suggesting it could be to do with rheumatoid arthritis and another diabetic. So it's a theme of our call-in so far today.
Yes, but also, like, arthritis just means inflammation in the joints. So a lot of people here think they've got arthritis, and they might just have a system that's too acidic. Tea is a huge contributor to joint pain. If you can look at what somebody's doing and what their lifestyle is and say, okay, so if you remove this out of your diet and just see if there's any improvement, I would always be looking at what you can take away to make an improvement rather than what we can add in that goes.
It's part of what you have to do at managing expectations as well, in that, you know, if you are talking about layers, and we'll see if that works, and that it's not a quick fix, and that sometimes it can take some time.
Yeah, absolutely. If somebody's spent 30 years getting arthritis, you might not fix them in an hour. But if you point them in the right direction, then you might see them 5 years later and they say, you know, that's got a lot better. But it's because they've been doing something themselves. I'm all for getting people to fix themselves with a bit of guidance or insight rather than keep coming back to me and me
of course,
fixing
it. As you mentioned, with the thought field therapies and the Buteyko of breathing, those are things that you can take home with you.
It's about lifestyle, and we all want to age well and not get more and more crocked as we get older. So if we can be doing something that makes us a little bit more well, like just before Christmas, I gave up alcohol and coffee. I love both of those things, and I intend to go back on them at some stage. But I knew that my system needed a good clear out. And since
When did you stop those two products?
Beginning of December.
And did you notice a big change?
I just feel better.
Yeah.
I feel well. Socially, it's not as great.
Of course, yeah. But
it's a pain in the neck not drinking coffee and alcohol. But it saves you money. And yes, aches and pains. Because I do an awful lot with my arms. And I was getting sore elbows from the positions that I work in. So that really eased off.
Well, there you go.
And all the things that you love and you don't want to give up, after a couple of days, it wouldn't bother you. Mm. It's just those couple of days where you think, oh, God, I'd love a glass of wine.
Yes.
But when you're not having it, it wouldn't bother me at all now if I never saw another bottle of wine or a cup of coffee. But my friends all do that sort of thing.
Of course. So it's
nice to
you don't necessarily want
take
to shut
it or
the
leave
door,
it.
Yeah. Shut the door completely. You have your choices. Thanks so much for coming in again, Patricia.
You're very welcome.
It's been a pleasure. BR is a musical event organised by Transition throughout the county. Letterkenny schools involved are Loretto Secondary School in St Eunan's, and they're organising concerts which will promote the Irish language. Charlotte O'Donnell, a member of the BR committee, is in studio with me. Am I getting that correct, am I?
Yeah, that's it.
Excellent. So, what are these musical events then, other than what I've said?
The musical events are really just a social event for the transition year students to come together and experience different types of music.
But it is in a sort of Irish music context, is that
yeah,
correct?
Yeah, we try our best to promote Irish language. Mm. But like, obviously not everyone is fluent and everyone has a different level of Irish. So we just use a couple of focal words and just different types of Irish words to get it out there.
Is this the first time you've been involved in one of these?
Yeah, it's for transition years. So I'm in transition year now and it runs every year. So every transitioner gets a chance, kind of.
There seems to be more of an interest in pop culture and a crossover with Irish music. There's a lot of recordings of songs being done os Gaelica now.
Yeah.
Even Ed Sheeran recorded one of his songs in Irish, which will do nothing but help. Is it just a little phenomenon we're going through, or do you think there is younger people are more interested in the language?
Yeah, definitely, I think they are. During the summer, Aaron Moore runs a Gaeltacht, so I attend that myself and some of my friends, and it really is a good way to learn Irish, to get to know people as well. So I definitely think that younger people are trying their best to learn Irish, because it's lovely to know the language.
And do you come from an Irish-speaking family yourself?
Nope, not at all.
So this is an interest that you've...
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Sometimes we do what our mums and dads or guardians or granny and granddads want us.
My friends, me, my sister, her friends. It's just Irish is lovely to know.
Mm. And how good a Irish speaker are you now?
I wouldn't be fluent. I would have a few words, but, you know...
Something.
Yeah, something.
Exactly. And you know, people learn the language and then when they get older, get distracted and then forget it. So you'll have to keep going with it. Now, the event takes place, it's coming up actually on Friday the 5th. So
you're
all well in place. So what's happening at the RCC in Letterkenny?
That night there is a gig at 7 p.m. So everyone's welcome and it's €5. So you just pay that at the door. And we have a lineup of Clans, their original group from Letterkenny. Indoor Wars is also an original group. It's two boys that are also on the BIA committee, Kieran Dorian and Owen Rainey. So they'll be playing. And Rave Lodge is a girl band from Donegal Town. It's just four girls and they're very good and they're really good at getting themselves out there as well. They competed in the Junior Eurovision, so it'll be good to hear them. The Real Breed are from Derry, and DJ Mike Lachlan is also from Derry. So it'll be a good night.
Yeah, sounds like it. Yeah. And open to all.
All open to everyone.
Excellent. And there's an Irish thing through all of it. I mean, are they all singing in Irish, or
no,
is it Irish?
It's not singing in Irish. Just the posters are in Irish. Maybe some Irish words during the presentation.
Yeah. I think that's a nice way to do it, to approach it softly, because
some people mightn't, when they hear Irish, they think, oh God, like they just lose interest.
And I think that's what happens when people, particularly I think when you make that... The way Irish is taught in some schools, I'm not saying others, but I think particularly national schools, I'm not sure you're actually taught the language. I think you're taught the answer to questions.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm going to ask you this question on Friday. Learn the answer. Now, I don't think that's really learning Irish as
such.
Even
for the junior cert, like, you're told to learn a story and just, you know,
So how is that going to help you?
Yeah.
You know, we need to get away from how you spell. You know, if your grammar is not fantastic, and just start speaking it.
Speaking it, definitely.
And using it, and singing it. And I think that's what I like about the fact that, you know, a lot of younger people are re-recording big songs in Irish. Because, you know, it might not impress the purists, but it's the language is being used, and that's what we need going forward.
Yeah, definitely
it?
Speaking it and knowing a bit of a conversation.
Right, €5 doesn't sound like an awful lot to me for a full night's entertainment. It's at the RCC in Letterkenny, and it's on Friday the 5th. That's this. That's next Friday. Mm-hmm. And run through the bands there again for us and the performers.
Clans, Indoor Wars, Rave Lodge, The Real Breed, and DJ Mike Lachlan.
And you don't need Irish to enjoy it. It's a general night out, but a couple of folk will be used, and there's posters and what have you. Did you need to mention anything else? Are you happy enough with that?
I think that's good.
And how many of you are on the committee out of interest, by the way?
There is myself, Gráinne Gilroy, Aggie Doherty, and then we have Kieran Dorian, Owen Rainey, Senan Cullen, and Colin McBurty.
Have you enjoyed it, and would you do it again?
Definitely.
A lot of times. Do you?
Yeah.
You're control freak.
Yeah.
Very good. Listen, it's been great speaking to you, Charlotte, and I'm sure it's going to be a great night.
Hopefully, yeah.
You'll be nervous because, you know, you plan things and you don't know.
Hopefully everything will run smoothly.
Excellent. Well, we need a big crowd there. That's the RCC, which is a lovely venue in Letterkenny, Friday the 5th, and a host of exciting young talent there from right across the region. Charlotte O'Donnell, thank you so much for coming in studio.
Thank you.
Giving up your Saturday morning for us. Thank you.
Yeah, no bother.
Mick Taylor, hello.
Greg, how you doing?
I'm doing very well indeed. Now, you're studying at the Tourism College in Killybegs. So you went back recently for the next term, didn't you?
Yeah, we started back Monday.
Mm-hmm. And part of that, part of this term is that you have to work on an assignment.
Well, one of the subjects, you have to organise an event. And if you could do a fictitious event, but you wouldn't be marked as well unless you'd done a real event. So my idea was to do a real event, but something different. Instead of like a dinner dance or something, I'm going to do a marathon for suicide prevention.
This is to do with event management, and you can, as you said, you can do a mock-up of, or you can actually do a real event.
Yeah.
And you're outside the box here a little bit because I would say not a lot of your peers would have decided to actually run a real event and for it to focus on suicide prevention.
No one did. But I just thought it was something different, and because in the last sort of 2 years I've known at least about 7 people who have committed suicide, and it's becoming more and more sort of relevant, and it touches everyone when you start getting into it. So I came up with the idea of, from absolutely scratch, 10 people, 10 weeks to run a marathon for 5,000. And I have 7 people signed up now on my Facebook page to run the marathon, and I've got sponsorship cards to give out, because I'm doing it for Peterhouse, who I haven't actually spoken to yet. They will get half, and the other half is going to their Living Links Donegal.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I picked them is because Peterhouse deal with sort of the process running up to suicide, where Living Links deal with the process after the fact with the families and people left behind, and what devastates a family.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to sort of get both sides, and hopefully just make a little bit of difference.
It's an ambitious challenge you've set yourself. In terms of not just the marathon, which would be enough for most people, but also obviously the fundraising aspect of it.
Well, the concept idea is just the way I think of it, rather than what is probably the reality, is that when people are thinking about suicide, it's because they put up sort of hurdles or barriers, and they can't get over it. So I'm sort of using the same concept, but in a different way, the fact that the marathon is sort of the ultimate sort of athletic thing you can do, but we're going to get it over it together, rather than keeping everything bottled up, share it. And there's 10 others, everyone's the same. I didn't want any athletes or anything like that, because the aim is the 10 people to start the event. It doesn't matter if we walk, we run, we crawl, but the 10 people will finish together by helping each other.
Now, if you've made a video, stuck it on your Facebook page, it's done really well, thousands of views, so there's lots of interest, lots of feedback. Have you got the 10 people yet, or is there still spaces there, Mick?
Well, I'm on 7 people now. What I'm doing is whoever agrees to do it, then we introduce them on the page with a photograph, so you know who they are, name them, and I have... 4 more people to go on, or 3 more people to go on Monday and Tuesday, whenever I get to meet them. So I have 3 more spaces, and once the 10 are there, they will also put in updates of their training, their fundraising, because 5,000 is a big target, but the way I've done it, I've sort of broke it down, so it becomes easier for people. So every individual has to raise 500. And then I have printed cards up, and I've broken it down to each card only has 15 lines on it. Because of the 10 theme, I am only looking for 10 euro donations. If they have a friend, they can give it out. So you're breaking it down to 150, which is more manageable. Uh-huh. So the big total might seem a hard target to hit. But if we break it down, and again, using the theme, everyone works together, instead of sort of being stuck as an individual.
And that's generally the theme and the whole concept, which goes down as far as the fundraising. Now, people who aren't taking part can still follow the fortunes of yourself and the others via Facebook. So tell us what is the address people can search for there.
If they just put my name in, Mick Taylor, they'll get onto my page, and whoever... it's a public page, so anyone can watch the videos I put up. And in the next sort of week, when the 10 are finalised, their updates will go onto the page. And the ten, you can still get involved. You can take a sponsorship card. I've given out 6 sponsorship cards in the past 2 days, and I have more to deliver to people today. So it seems to be a lot of people are sort of affected by this. I want to do something for it because they know of people that have taken their lives, as well as the not forgetting that the families left behind as well.
And that ties in with your support of Peterhouse and Living Links as well. Mick, it's been a pleasure speaking to you. We wish you the very best. Hopefully we might check in with you a week out or something along those lines to see how training is going for everyone and what have you. And we'll link your details via our Facebook page. And listen, thanks for telling us that. We hope it goes really well, the fact that you're using this assignment rather than mocking up organising a festival or something, that you're actually getting out there and doing it for real and for a great cause. So thank you so much, and we fully support you in that, Mick. Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Greg. Cheers.
All right, take care. That's Mick Taylor there. Okay, you're very welcome back to the last segment of the programme. We're joined in studio by Youth Council Chairperson. This is the Donegal Youth Council Chairperson of the Letterkenny Municipal District, Niall Hannigan. Hi, Niall. How are you?
Not too bad, yeah.
Right. It's going to be called on Tuesday, whether voting is on the 25th or the 26th. We're looking for a general election. And you want... to ensure that Youth Council wants to ensure that anyone who has a vote, particularly young people, obviously, because that's your mandate, that they register and use it.
Oh, definitely. Like, I see it as a waste if you don't really, you know, this is your opportunity to kind of affect your future and, you know, kind of put your points out there that you want to do, and it's important that you use your right to vote.
I presume from a perspective, a younger person's perspective, particularly those maybe travelling away for college, ideally you'd want the vote on a Friday where it's most likely people can get home to vote.
Oh, definitely. Like, it's just whatever's handier, and, you know, that would kind of increase the people that are wanting to vote and everything. So
now, the numbers are huge. Over 2,300 people turned 18 in the last 12 months. They may not be in the register, and in a county of this size, and even in a county of this size, that's a lot of votes.
Oh no, it definitely is. Like, you know, it proves over other elections that, you know, the young people can kind of swing votes and everything, and it's important that everyone that has the opportunity, you know, takes it. So
check the register.ie, because it doesn't matter what age you are, all of us can be guilty at times of moaning, complaining and criticising decisions and who's making these decisions. But I don't think really you have a right to do that unless you get involved in the process.
No, exactly, yeah. Like, people, you know, looking for the TDs or whoever's in charge, you know, to kind of pick out, you know, people's interests, the young people's interest, and you can't really say that unless you have your say and, you know, you use your vote, like, so I don't see that as a valid point, like, so.
Historically, the Youth Council gets calls after an election or after the register is closed and their people say, I didn't get my chance or I wanted, you know, so do it early, register early and then make sure that you can have your say.
No, exactly, like, we're kind of promoting people to go out there and vote, and you know it's very important for people to use their voice and use their right to vote.
Do you look at what a party or what a candidate says or offers young people when you'd be making a decision?
Well, I'm 17 at the moment.
Hypothetically,
yeah. No, I'd say you pick out, you know, the people that are talking about things that you're passionate about, and if you're passionate about something, you need to back that person and voting for them.
Now, the Youth Council's organising a debate, a candidates' debate, and inviting as many candidates that have declared so far to come along to it. That's going to be really interesting, and particularly to find out what the policies are, what their views are on what they can do for young people.
Exactly. So on the 18th of February, we're having a night in the LYAT, and we've invited some candidates forward, and most of them have accepted that they'd come. And it's basically just to tackle, you know, youth issues and kind of get their point of view in it, and it'll give a great insight into, you know, what their thoughts are, and we'll probably give a bit of a youth swing to it, you know, and then get into the serious stuff after, so it'll be interesting.
And I think it'll be interesting too, because people like me, for instance, that have been doing this for quite some time, you know, you can maybe come back with the same stuff, you know, the same questions and the same issues, but I think with the younger, fresher minds, that this will be an interesting debate in that, you know, new things will come up, new ways of looking at it, new ways of asking the questions.
Exactly, like there's been a lot of new stuff, like the referendum with the marriages coming in, and you know, the young people probably would have had a big say in that.
Oh yeah, influenced that hugely.
You know, that this is going to kind of give another angle to it, and to hear the candidates' opinions will be very interesting.
So. Indeed, look forward to that myself. Unfortunately, I won't be able to make it, but I'd love to. But who's to say what can happen closer to the time? try and disappoint someone and get going there if I can. That's coming up on the 18th of February in LYAT. I think there's going to be huge interest in that indeed.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've seen the success of the Donegal Youth Council and its shadowing of the full council, and how it can influence things and influence policy, and views are taken on and acted on. In fairness, the council gets a lot of criticism, but it has succeeded in that area. And I wonder why we don't have that nationally.
Yeah, well, there is a Corlin and Oge.
But you don't get a sense that it's influencing anything. Do you know what I mean?
No, like, that's true. You know. Like, there's a person that's elected from each county council or youth council around the country, and they're on a board, but they are having, you know, national initiatives, like you can be raising awareness for mental health and stuff like that. Last year was one of the main ones, and you know, it would be great to see them have more of an influence, but they are going well at the moment.
So. Definitely. So the structure's there, we just have to you know, make sure or even if it's maybe it is happening, but let people know it's happening, so that there is a sense that
exactly. There's probably not enough people that know about it, and you know, so I think that would probably help.
Right, so if you've turned 18 and you want to vote in this election to have your say, that's what democracy is all about, check the register.ie. Do you have any views on whether people should be forced to vote, Niall? Or penalised for not voting?
Yeah, well, I think it's just, I think it's kind of idiotic. Like, you need to kind of use your power and your right to vote. Like, people have worked hard over the years to, you know, to gain that right to vote, and in many countries it's still not there, but you know, in Ireland it's there, and not that they should be punished, but I just think they should be, you know, kind of helped, you know, to vote or given advice on what to look out for and stuff like that. But I think it's very important.
Okay. And how's things going on the Youth Council generally?
Oh, that's great. Yeah, we've just kind of into our second term as youth councillors, and we've got a few initiatives coming up and everything, so it's very exciting.
Has your interest in politics grown, or has it been destroyed by seeing perhaps more firsthand what's going on?
Yeah, well, in the Youth Council we try not to pick any sides, you know, keep it nice and open, but no, it's great. I always had an interest in it, so just no, it's great. I really enjoy it.
Always a pleasure to speak to you. Check the register.ie. There's 2,300 people that potentially could be on it and may not be on it, so get on it if you are. That debate, LYAT, the 18th of February. Niall Hannigan, who is the chairperson of the Letterkenny Municipal District Donegal Youth Council, thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks very much.